John, the third chapter. Today we've got the story surrounding this kernel of gospel. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, called this gospel in John, the third chapter, the whole gospel in one chapter. It shares a story of a man named Nicodemus. And the scripture reads, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees, his name was Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born again when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked. 'You are Israel's teacher,' said Jesus, 'and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, open up our hearts that we may see this story unfold in a way we never have. May we see the true encounter that took place here and how it is vital to our Christian understanding. Lord, let us grow in grace today even more to come to a mystery that needs to be revealed in our own life, of how this faith that we are keeping demands that we grow and we understand even more. Lord, let us know this understanding is not by mind or by body, it is by spirit. Let us grow in the spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is the scripture that we read today that many have tried to interpret and figure out what it really means to be born again. The scripture actually can be translated born again, born from above, or born of God. So when you hear the term born again, it has certain ideas behind it. In fact, you may know or you may have experienced moments of understanding this. I can tell you that I am born again. I am born from above. I am born of God. It happened in the pulpit at Arapahoe. Son of a Methodist preacher, grandson of a Free Will Baptist preacher, raised in a Christian home. I believed in Christ, and there was no doubt in my mind about the presence of God. You've heard me tell the stories of my childhood, of the certainty when I almost drowned at the pool in Fuquay Arena, that I knew I was going to be with my Heavenly Father right when I went under the water, and I was ready to accept that fate. But understand, it was at that pulpit years ago, back in 1985, my father had invited me to go and preach for him one Sunday. He knew I had the call. Leona knew I had the call, but I didn't know I had the call. And I went and preached that Sunday, and on that very day, I was born again. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean I'm a different kind of Christian? Does it mean I have an extra star in my crown? Does it mean that I'm somehow different from others who may not have had a similar experience? No, what it means for me is that on that moment, on that day, I knew clearly my God loved me and had died for me, and I accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior. I accepted him as the Lord of my life, where he would direct and guide me. I submitted myself to his will, totally trusting God, no matter where it would take me, knowing that my God, through Christ Jesus, is my salvation. Now, Nicodemus was a learned man. I know you probably have heard me spew a lot of information, a lot of facts. And I need to go and say this. I need to give due where due is certainly it's been earned. So congratulations to Duke University. It pains me to say that, but me and Brad were commiserating in the back along with Mr. Pat. But I have to say that. Okay, now that I've said that, it's over and done. That's, by the way, someone wrote Duke in snow on my truck, but it has melted since then. So I won't say who did that. But I have a lot of facts in my head. And the older I get, the more I have, and I don't know if those are memory or creation facts. I seem to remember things. I was telling Andrew earlier this morning when he was telling me the good news, I was relating to him a story of me and him and some others playing softball in the snow. And I don't know if you remember that or not, and I could have created that memory, but to me it should have happened even if it didn't. See, the idea that we learn and we grow. Here's Nicodemus, a great teacher. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. That is the ruling court, the Supreme Court of Israel. He's a very powerful man. And he comes to Jesus at nighttime. Now, some preachers, they'll take off on that point, but I don't really, it doesn't make any difference what time of the day or night he came, but he came to see Jesus is the point. And he came to see Jesus because he had heard and seen of the miraculous things, and even says that. He says, "For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." So Nicodemus is looking at the facts and saying, this man's got something going on here. He's like raising the dead. He's causing the blind to see. He's healing the deaf, the lame, the leopards. He's cleansing. That this man, something is wonderful about this man. So Nicodemus shows up and says, what is going on here? Who are you? What is this that's going on? And Jesus already knows, because you have to understand, Jesus knows. Jesus knows. He knows us. He knows who we are. He knows where we come from. He knows us even before we get there. Jesus knew you would be here this morning. And he's already prepared the way for you and for me to grow in grace, an opportunity to grow in a way that makes this a different morning. Yes, we had to bear the snow and trudge through the snow to get to church. But the fact is, God intended you to be here. He wanted you. He made the heavens and the earth rotate in just the right formation and all the opportunities to open up for this to be. I think the answer is obvious why you're here. It may not be to hear this sermon this morning, but I guarantee you it was here to pray over Anna as she's about to take this journey, because she needs these prayers and she needs the angels to be with her as she goes to this nation that's in mourning and in trouble. So Nicodemus shows up on this morning or this evening, and he shows up and he speaks to Jesus, and Jesus says, you must be born, what he says, of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. That's the first thing he says. We haven't got to love yet. We're going to get to love in eventually. We're born of the Spirit. Now, what does that mean, be born of the Spirit? Well, he says, you don't know where the Spirit's coming from. Spirit, it's a wind. It blows in, it blows out. You don't know where it's coming from. To be born of the Spirit. Now, what does it mean? Well, it means you're not born of the body alone. See, the Greeks teach us there's three parts to us. There's the physical, there's the mental, and there's the spiritual. So the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. The physical, the mental, and the spiritual. And they teach that we have those elements that make us up. Now, we're born of the body. We're part of a birth process that took place. Each of us have a birth certificate. We were born at a certain time on a certain day. I was born on a Friday at Lewisburg Hospital in Franklin County, North Carolina at 6:22 a.m. on a rainy Friday. I remember it well. I told you my memory's gotten better as I've gotten older. And I remember the doctor slapped me and I looked at him and said, "You must be a Duke fan," is what I said. See, we're born in a certain way. We're born in the body. Then there's a moment comes along, and it didn't happen in my English class in high school. It could have, but it didn't. It happened when I was already at the end of college that my mind opened up for the first time. I was kind of dense. That's why Coach Farrell made me a lineman, because linemen aren't very smart. They just take commands and hit the person directly in front of them. See, we're born of the mind. We think. We're thinking beings. We think. That's how we figure things out. So we're born of the body, we're born of the mind, but we're also born of the Spirit. And Jesus says you must be born of the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. Now what this means is there will be people who agree there is a Jesus with their mind. They will physically have attended church, but they will not enter heaven. It means there will be people who think they understand the gospel. And when you talk to them, they all know all the facts. They can quote, they can say the history, or they may say, "I was there and I was doing this and I was doing that." But the fact is, unless they're born of the Spirit, they will never see the kingdom of God. That's very important. That's very important that you be told this by a preacher of the gospel, so you will not err and think just being here and just thinking certain way is enough. I'm saying it's not enough. And he's telling Nicodemus on this evening, you haven't done enough, Nicodemus. You've learned the law. You know the Torah. You know Genesis all the way through the 39 books of the Old Testament. You understand these things. You know who your mama and daddy is. You know you were born. But you will not enter the kingdom, Nicodemus, until you're born of the Spirit. Now that's hard, but it's the gospel. Jesus is making clear that there is a pattern of salvation. Now, that's what happened to me in that pulpit at Arapahoe. I was born in the Spirit. Now somebody would say, well, does that mean I was already judged before? Of course, I'm judged now. But I'm judged righteous by the blood of Christ. And before that moment, it was about me. It wasn't about Christ. It was about my life and my career and what I was going to do and how I was going to be. It was based on me and me alone and those that surrounded me that I loved. It was not based upon God. God was not number one in my life until that day at Arapahoe when I put him number one in my life above all others. Above even family, above even tradition, above even learning and knowledge and science and technology and all the things that are trappings of our postmodern world where we think we understand things because we can see certain things. Jesus even said, you think you can see it? You can't see this. This is the Spirit. God's working in miraculous ways all around us. He's causing things to happen. Do you think he's inactive or away? God is active in the world. He's saying to Nicodemus, you must be born of this Spirit to ever enter into the kingdom. It's like my grandfather once told me. I said, who is God? I asked him that one day. And he said, son, he said, God is Spirit. And I walked away wondering, what does that mean, God is Spirit? Does that mean what does that mean? And what it means is that the kingdom of God is an everlasting realm, because here's the deal, your body's going to fade away. You came from dust, you'll return to dust. Your mind will start to slip. You'll start remembering even more. Like I hit a home run that day, Andrew. You don't even remember that, but I do. They call those false memories, by the way. But they're good memories. See, Nicodemus has shown up and Jesus has laid it clear to him. Nicodemus, what you brought in here will not save you. It's what you're going to take out from here. See, what you bring the church will not save you. It's what you take from our fellowship that will bring salvation. Now, how does that happen? And he continues, and then he gives that greatest of all scriptures there in the 16th verse. How are we born of the Spirit? How do we know what spirit is? Because you have to test the spirits. Not all spirits are good. Some spirits are evil. I've been in places where spirits are evil. I tell you the truth, the hair stood on the back of my neck more than a couple of times. We had just had the first Bible study at the church I used to serve on the Outer Banks at Wan Chi's there at Bethany. We had the Bible study, and there was this weird couple came in. They had a van that had all kinds of scriptures painted on the side, and they were very odd people, and they were kind of different. And they came to the Bible study, and then the woman really started acting terribly. She started just being mean and boisterous, and I looked at her, and I saw a flash of flame in her eyes. And as a preacher, when you see that, you got to do something. So I told her, I said, you get out of here. And all my church people were there, and they're like staring at the preacher. And the men, there's men there, thank God. Men need to come to Bible study. Don't just let women folk learn. Men need to learn. And the men looking at me, and I said, you need to get out of here. And then the man stands up and started using foul language, and she starts using foul language, and they start stomping around inside the fellowship hall there, and I'm going, oh my Lord. And I told them, I'm calling the police on you. You get out of here right now. And I followed them out, and they cussed me the whole way. And the pack of women was right behind me, and just behind them was a pack of men. Yeah. And they drove away with the window down, cursing me in the church. And we went back to our Bible study, and they said, what was that? And I said, that was the devil. That was a bad spirit. I said, they turned that fast on us. One of them said, preacher, how did you know? And I said, I saw the flame in their eyes, but it was kind of a signal when I heard the bad language out of their mouth. And one of them said, I ain't never seen a preacher kick people out of church before. And I said, understand, there's wolves out there who want to devour and turn aside us and our lives. See, test the spirit and know that the spirit is true because it is born of love. Now, we can pop that up there. Say, for God so loved the world. In that part of the world, Anna, you're going to encounter those that have ideas of spiritual realms closer and more than the Western world. In the Western world, we don't seem to think the spiritual realm is as real. But in what they call the third world, which I don't think is a right term to use, in other parts of the world, it's very real because people know those forces are current. In the nation you're going to, it's very real. And you encounter people who see that and think they know that. Well, how we test that and how we know it's true, because what happened to me at Arapahoe that morning in the pulpit was I felt the unconditional love of God in my life for the first time. For the first time, I knew he loved me. And it was the most unbelievable moment that I had ever had in my life. My father had preached, my mother had taught me, Leona had shared her faith with me. I thought I knew everything there was to know, but I realized I had not even started this journey of learning what the faith is. It's born of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In other words, the love is not just a state of mind, it's a state of being. It's not just saying I love you, it's doing something about that love. It's not just saying that we have something special. It's that I'm here for you no matter what. See, God is here for us no matter what. He wants us to be with him. His relationship with us is based on love. It's not based on obedience. Obedience comes after love, not before. See, I pray the day will come that those that love me of their own free will in accordance to the love that God has given to them. I pray it's not based upon obedience or upon obligation. That's one of the prayers all parents have, is that their children love them completely for who they are, that they're a child of God. See, God loves us And that's what it means to be born again, to be born of love. So what do we do once we have this experience of love in our life, this unconditional moment where Christ is a personal Savior, and we come to the moment? We want to then go share the love. We want to pass the love along. We want to be born of the light. That's what it has where Jesus talks about it. He says the verdict is in. He said the whole purpose of the gospel is to separate the world from those who are entering the kingdom and those who will never enter the kingdom. The whole purpose of this creation is a filter. It is a process. It's a theological process of filtering the saved from the unsaved. It's a birthing canal. And only those who are born again will be delivered into the eternal kingdom. Now you may say, that's harsh. I didn't make the rule. I didn't make it the way it is. But do you honestly think the people out there doing evil and performing evil and living lives are evil are somehow going to be able to stagger into the gates of the kingdom? Do you think they're going to be able to go up there and knock on the door and say, Lord, I did the best I could do. Now you just got to let me in because that's what you do. The Lord built a kingdom with rules and regulations. He built it based upon the truth, and the truth is the light that shines. And the truth is, this is a sinful world. And we can try to disguise and justify sin all we want to in this postmodern landscape. We can try to legalize it. We can try to make it where we think it's okay. But sin is sin and always has been sin. There's no way around it. Nicodemus knows it, and he should have known better. And Jesus said, I'm shining the light here. Do you see it, Nicodemus? And Nicodemus is going, well, I'm living a righteous life. But even Nicodemus in his righteousness is not righteous compared to the brightness of God, because it shines through all the darkness that is going on. That's why I've always loved snow. It's about stopped out there now. If snow has that wonderful ability to not only be white and to be pure, but to cover things. There's nothing more beautiful than a morning that you wake up and snow has covered everything. It's covered everything, and there's this blanket of white that covers it, where it seems like the world is pristine and the world is pure and the world is beautiful. See, I do see a world that is beautiful, and I see lives that are beautiful, even through the grit and the grime and the dirtiness of the world and the sin that happens each and every day. I see it even though people are full of pride and arrogance, even though people may think they know better and somehow they know better. This past week, they discovered a mile-long road over in Palestine, a road that has the name Pontius Pilate carved all over it. And yet they still question the validity and the history of Jesus. Shows come on TV that says, was Jesus real? Sisters and brothers, we can argue all day long, but the truth is Jesus is real because I have met him and I know him and I know he calls me to something better. Does that mean that in my life that I am somehow different? No, it just means I walk in the light. It means I choose that path. So it means when I walk, I may see darkness and light, and I choose the light. I do not choose the darkness. If you find yourself in a moment of gray between the two, and you may be in darkness, and then you come into the light, I say, come into the light. Let it overcome you. Let it remake you. And then you'll realize there's more to me than just my body. There's more to me than just my mind. There is my soul. And my soul is what will take place in the eternal. The body will return to the earth. The mind will return to the dust. But the soul returns to God, and it's eternal. So Nicodemus went there that night, the great teacher of Israel, coming to find what is the secret. What is this thing Jesus is doing? And Jesus was doing the miracles based on love. He was healing the people based on love. And he's healing us based on love. He's healed you because he loves you. That is why. He's mending your families because he loves you. He's making you successful because he loves you. He's giving you everything because he loves you. And when you recognize that and step into that light and say, Lord, I accept your grace in my life, things happen you never imagined. God opens up doors you never dreamed could open. And you end up becoming what God would have you be. And of course, we are all meek and mild in the sight of God. But when he fills us with that light, we become vessels of the holy. And when we go, we represent Christ to other people. And they end up stepping into the light. Sisters and brothers, my prayer is that you are born again. You're born of God and born of love. You're born of the Spirit. And understand, for each one of us, there is a unique path of this. My way is not the only way. There are many paths, but they all come through Jesus. The moment of coming to Jesus. Jesus, help us. Help us. And Jesus always does. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we cry out to you as Nicodemus did. We come to you. We ask the questions. You not only have the answers, you have even more questions for us. You challenge us and say, is this really all you think there is? Do you think this is it? Do you not see the kingdom I am building for you? Do not we know in this same Gospel of John, you said you go to prepare a place for us, a house, a home, where we have a room, we have a place. Lord, you have brought us here so we can claim that place in heaven. Will you be with us as we go forth this week? May the grace of God hover over us and guide us and protect us. Angels come and minister to us. Ministers to those that we reach out to in the name of Christ. Touch our lives that we may come to the light. In Jesus' holy, sweet name we pray. Amen.